Well, we come to shorter catechisms, dealings with the ninth commandment. I think it's up there in the 70s if you have your little catechism along. What is it, 70, 76, 77, and 78? What is the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What is required in the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment requires the maintaining and promoting of truth between man and man, and of our own and our neighbor's good name, especially in witness bearing. And what is forbidden in the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever is prejudicial to truth or injurious to our own or our neighbor's good name. You know, in this Brexit era, since the referendum, we've had 3 long years of an escalation, I believe, in a war of words, of public discourse. We've had, I think in particular, it's hard not to switch on the news or hear any kind of public commentary where one side is not calling the other side liars. It seems to be a very popular slur. The Remainers long cry this, and they cry it in posters. Isn't it the Led by Donkeys posters will try to highlight certain things for their own purposes. The media appearances, or in Westminster, of course, the lies that they'll cry out about, the lies that won the referendum, the 350 million to the NHS, wasn't there a big red bus or something? And the great deal, they'll say this was a lie, the great deal we'll get and all the rest. And of course, Brexiters will have accused, of course, Remainers and Remainer MPs of lying, of false testimony, because they'll say, well, you were elected in 2017 after the 16th vote, and you were elected on a manifesto to deliver Brexit, and yet you're doing anything but. So you're bearing false testimony. You know, I actually think it reached a new low. It wasn't really until the past week when I actually began to reflect on this. It reached a new low at the Supreme Court on Wednesday past. I wonder if you picked out the same quote as I picked out. It was there's an argument going on about the PM's advice to the Queen prorogation and whether it was lawful. And one Aidan O'Neill, the Scottish QC, what was the quote? What we have with this prorogation is the mother of parliaments closed down by the father of lies. Being generous, I'm trying to be generous, that is quite the theatrical claim. Invoking the image of Boris Johnson as the devil himself, described by the Lord Jesus, of course, in John 8 and 44. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Is this where we are in the United Kingdom, that in the Supreme Court, that's the sort of slurs that passes for good speech? Is this the country that we live in where trust in the truthful word and the intentions of our neighbors in authority is it a terrible low? And people segregate those in authority to distrust, to see false testimony all around and to bear it themselves. There's a turning away from truth almost towards self-truth and self-perception, the way I see it, my truth. How are we to parse our way through all of this? Well, mercifully, in the promise of God, I am not a politician. I'm a minister of the gospel. I have no public Brexit solutions, nor is it my place to lead or to give one. My expertise is in sin and in redemption. And I believe the ninth is a timely word to our land and us here in living as citizens of the land and also citizens of the kingdom, not of this world. The Lord God is truth, and he abhors lying. Thus, we ask ourselves, are the words and witnesses that we use with our neighbours true and free from falsehood? We're going to think about the Bible's testimony concerning the ninth, the positive speaking, the truth and love, and then, of course, then we'll consider the negative sin of lying about our neighbor. So where do we find the first lie? Where's the first lie in the Bible? That's in Genesis 3. That's right, Genesis. The serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. The devil was exiled from heaven to earth. The Lord Jesus said that he saw him fell like lightning. And so the real father of lies has no truth in him. The devil is a false witness against the Lord. Exiled from heaven. And he sought to drag God's good creation of man down with him. And first he sows in Adam and Eve doubt. Doubt concerning God's testimony. Did God really say? And of course Eve resists, doesn't she? She doesn't quite lie, but she begins to push into the truth. In essence, she kind of exaggerates. She adds to the truth. She says, we shall surely die, nor shall we touch it. Nor shall we touch it. Of course, in Genesis 3, and indeed the prohibition that the Lord had given to the children, or to his children, to Adam and Eve. He didn't quite say that, did he? He didn't quite say that. He said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. But Eve pushed a wee bit. She listened to the devil, entered into a discussion with him, and said, we shall not touch it. Resist, but not quite far enough. Then the devil pounces. As soon as she says that, the devil pounces upon his prey, whispers the lie, eat off it, you shall surely not die. That's the first lie. Quickly followed by the second. First lie is not long out before the second, soon in following. Your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What a terrible lie. They already knew good and pure speech. They could not ever be as God, for the Lord alone is God. And yet in lying about the Lord and his word, the devil attracts these young humans to trust his lying words about the Lord, his character, to trust the lie. And it was believed. The sin was their own, of course. And now creation, marred by untruthfulness, marred by a seeking one's own truth against what the Lord God has said. And it begat more and more lying and more sin. Falsehood was shared by Eve. She denied God's command and she hid. So did Adam. And throughout and on it goes. That father of lies, the devil, whispering into the ear at the beginning and then into man's ear ever since, aided by the host of heaven, half the host of heaven that fell with him. Later in Genesis, false witnesses seem never to be too far away. Abraham bore false witness, didn't he? Abraham, to the king of Egypt, lied about his wife, said it was Sarah was his sister. Jacob, he bore a false testimony, didn't he? He pretended to be Esau so that his father Isaac would give him the covenant blessing. Joseph's brother lied to their father Jacob concerning his death. Even presented the son's robe as evidence of the mauling and death, despite the truth being that he was sold to slavery in Egypt. When the Lord God brought the children of Israel to Sinai, he gave them these commandments. And in the second table where we have gotten to in the ninth, is that we would not bear false witness concerning our neighbor. We are not to be a people who would lie or speak a false report. Regardless of whether before a judge or a common man, We are to be known, and the children of Israel to be known as people who spoke the truth, protected their neighbor, protected their reputation, even their livelihood. In the prayer meeting before the service, we read the account of 1 Kings 21, the story of Naboth's vineyard. Ahab wanted it. Jezebel put a plan to get it. And then there came in two men, children of Beliah, and witnessed against Naboth, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And then so in false testimony, Naboth was taken out and stoned to death. And then Ahab went and took possession of the vineyard. Jezebel, who subordinated these two false witnesses against Naboth, well, she was judged, thrown from a window. And the dogs would lick her blood, just as Elijah said. Solomon in Proverbs 25 and 18 says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a mole and a sword. A mole and a sword. In the New Testament, we don't have to go too very far into the New Testament. We come to the Gospels, and we see therein the Lord Jesus as one who false testimony was born about. The chief priests and the council, they sought false testimony, didn't they, against him? And they eventually got two to come forward so that he could be charged with blasphemy and put to death. And even Pilate saw through the deception, didn't he? He didn't care, though. He didn't care for the truth. What did he say? What is truth? All the while, the way, the truth, and the life was standing before him. The Lord Jesus is truth incarnate, very God and perfect man. And God is repeatedly called in the Old Testament the God of truth. In him there is no darkness, there is no lies, there is no mistruth. There is only his truthful word, revealing his purposes to the world as it is, men in their sin. Have we not been reading through Acts? And we read it out just before we sung Psalm 15, which spoke lots about speaking truth. Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit and held back from the church some of the proceeds of the land sale. And Peter told him that he'd not lied to man, but in fact had lied to God, the Holy Spirit. And he breathed his last then and there. Later, Sapphira, his wife, too. The devil was active within the church, seeking to drag down those in the church. From within, but also from without. From outside, in the book of Acts, did we not recently read the stoning of Stephen? How was it to be that Stephen was imprisoned? Well, like his faithful Savior and Lord, there were witnesses, false witnesses, against him. They brought malicious false reports that he had spoken blasphemous words against Moses and God. He was imprisoned, stoned, and killed. The Apostle Paul later would tell congregations not to lie to one another. Colossians 3 and 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices. James in the epistle, in his epistle, would tell us that the tongue can't be tamed. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With one little lying tongue, much evil can be done. As the large ship is turned by the small rudder, or the large forest is set on fire by the small little fire. I always remember the Stereophonics song, it only takes one match to light 1,000 trees. The ninth is a commandment which forces us to stare at the sin of lying and to repent of our wickedness, the wickedness of our tongue, and seek a better, truthful praise, a praise of our Savior. We begin in the positive, and then we'll consider the negative. Begin in the positive, and then we'll consider the negative. To keep positively the ninth, the Catechism teaches that we must maintain and promote truth between us, to look after our own good name and the name of our neighbor. God is concerned that in our society, there would be truthful speaking between the peoples. Not just for Christian folk, but God, in a measure of restraining, ensures that we live in a land where, even yet still, people genuinely and generally value truth. I think that's a self-evident thing from nature. We want to look out off our windows and say that the sky is blue. We want to speak the truth about the world around us. We teach our little children to speak the truth. We want to be a people and instill yet still values that values the truth. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to live in a society that values truth, that is rationally confesses the world as it is. To be in such a land, it means that we live in a land that promotes trust, community, advancement of society into greater peaceableness. Why? Because if we have a capital T truth, then it steers us away from our own little, making little gods of ourselves with our own truths. Our own truths. Our truths of self-perception and wanting to bend reality to our own will. And that only will breed distrust between people. Yet, however, we live in a land where there are many powers and lying powers that threaten to undo us. The media, the internet, they spread much disinformation at tremendous speeds. Whereas before, perhaps a century ago, we really only had the speed of print, of the newspaper. Now, somebody can put a lie up on the internet and it'll be around the world before the end of, not even the hour, probably the end of that minute. And it can be taken and propagated very, very fast, such is what technology has brought to the table. Wonderful in other respects, but we see that power to spread disinformation, ferment distrust, speak of, I mean, even consider 50 years ago, 60 years ago, those people in Tunisia on their holidays, they were, the hotel was locking the door, wanting money out of them before it released them. But now we all know that. which something that happened like, but a lot of hours ago in the scheme of the world. And yet, thanks to the internet, we all now know of it. Truth, distruth, or falsehood can be spread so quickly. We see it particularly, I suppose, in the LGBT agenda. Spins every which way, spins their own agenda this way or that, tries to suggest certain things, influences emotion, disengages your rational thought and your truth seeking. And actually, ultimately what it does is wrap people in little islands of their own truth, disassociated from capital T truth, what the Bible says. And that's a lonely place. We must be a people who are wise to the influences of the pagan preachers of this world, their pulpits in the media and the internet. When you read your paper, you consider the news, test these things against one's own natural, rational understanding, but also against scripture. Ask for advice, perhaps. Ask for the leading of your elders or a preacher. Midweek actually is a great opportunity to do just that. We have a very free and open conversation about the text and bring our issues to it, that we may promote truth between man and man. Catechism also speaks about promoting our good name and also our neighbor's name. Proverbs 22:1 tells us that a good name is more precious than all riches. As far as the truth is permitted, as far as the truth permits, even, we are to be a people who speak good and see good in others. We want to keep others' good name unmarked by falsehood. Who are kind to one another, as the fruit of the Spirit produces love for our neighbor. One example of this is when the apostles were filled with the wine of the Spirit. And then they were charged with drunkenness. What did Peter do? He openly maintained their innocence. Acts 2 and 15. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. There had been false reports being brought about the disciples, the apostles. And Peter wants to promote their good name. And that is to act the part of a friend and that of a Christian, to be an advocate for another, especially when they've been wronged in their good name. The schoolyard, the workplace, I am sure has many sins. But how often do you have a chance to speak up for another when their name is being dragged through the mud of false testimony and idle gossip? Speak up. Speak up as far as the truth allows you. So what then does the catechism teach concerning the prohibitions of the commandment? Well, we are to avoid anything that is harmful to the truth, and especially avoid any lying about ourselves or our neighbors. Shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. God is light. In him there is no darkness. There is no change or shifting shadows about him. There is no lying. God is holy and righteous and cannot abide falsehood or tolerate anything that is untrue. The Lord God hates untruth, hates lying. Do we have a holy hatred of falsehood? Do we see it as the devil's work? Proverbs 12 and 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Friends, there is not anything more contrary to the Lord, to his spirit, than the speaking of lies. Just as in Eden, one lie begat another, so lying leads to more lying and many other sins beside. We are to avoid anything that is harmful to the truth and seek to imitate the Lord Jesus, who spoke the truth, even in love. And what of this sin of lying in regard to others? Well, we are not to slander our neighbor. We may be a victim of it. You might have been a victim of slander. If you're a believer, then you're in good company. Because who was slandered? The Lord Jesus. He was called a friend of sinners and was slandered. And so for the apostles and for Paul, for us, in good company. But it's no excuse for us to slander others. We would be a people with clean lips, not a people with backbiting against our neighbor. When untrue slander has been put out there into the wild, it cannot be retracted easily. It's a mark in another's name that will follow them around like that bad smell. It cannot be easily taken back once it's spoken. To fabricate a false report about another man or woman, to say that he does something when he has not, to repeat something with our own spin on it, is to cause harm to our neighbor, robs our neighbor of the character, and credits to them a lie. Sometimes it happens in our conversations, happens in print, happens all too regularly as we thought about and the speed of it on the internet. We have neighbors all over the world now. And sometimes we're more likely to know them than our actual physical neighbor. And there's great opportunity for evil lying to be used in so-called social media. And in truth, actually, it's probably more anti-social media. And so much backbiting and slander can go on there. I would offer one brief comment on a very modern lie, about ourselves and our neighbors, that is unfortunately alive and celebrated these days, and seems to be becoming a public good. Back to being in that country, being in that Western world where capital T truth is rejected, and we all turn to little islands of our own truth. One modern lie that is celebrated is that not telling the truth about your biological sex. There's such an abundance of stories that it's hard to choose one, but I was struck by the case of a Guardian, one of the Guardian journalists. The Guardian's a paper, in case you've avoided it, or don't know if I'm looking at many Guardian readers here. But there was a journalist in it, a so-called Freddie McConnell. Freddie's story has been made into a film, released this month, that's why it's relevant, called Seahorse. He documents the process of having his own child, claiming to be a man, legally naming himself as such, dressing as such, all the while actually, of course, being a biological woman. And like the emperor's new clothes, all the elite, all the media applaud this brave man who had a baby, and they tell and repeat his story. Yet it's crying out for somebody to shout, "You're a woman. You had a baby. Stop lying to yourself and lying and forcing others to do so as well." For you see, they never leave it at just themselves. Whenever you have a little island of your own truth, your immediate action is to make war upon other little islands, that everybody then would accept your version of reality, your perception. And of course, Freddie has instructed lawyers to ensure that mother is removed from her son's birth certificate, and that Freddie would be able to be called father on it. Think about that. If that's successful, if that court case is successful, some poor registrar is going to have to lie and describe the person who gave birth as father rather than mother. This is the mixed up world that we live in. This is the world of self-truths, of little individuals with their own perception of themselves, trying to live it out and force the rest of the world to accept their version of reality. If we give up as the Lord God himself designs, then we exchange the truth for a lie. We accept self-truth, which is actually ultimately based on preference and not reality. We reject the Lord's making male and female, and we are tempted to accept the world's packaging of it. And they'll package it as, this is a lovely thing, this is a wonderful thing, this is an affirming thing. All the while, we're just waiting on the wee boy who was in the emperor's new clothes to shout out the truth. And the sad thing is, actually, friends, whenever we dive, I haven't mentioned that particular sin thus far, because actually I think it fits in well into the ninth, that whole area of transgenderism and all the rest. And the further you go down into little islands of your own truth, the further you are led away from the gospel, and you're led into great unhappiness, loneliness, a constant battling with the world. There's much in the ninth. There's much in the ninth about ourselves, about society, about living with truth and respect and protecting our name and our neighbors. And the whole land detaches itself from the Lord as the one who is the ultimate truth. Well, then how quickly we see lying and my truths, false testimonies, multiplying quickly, and society finds it difficult even to get on with each other. We often talk about how fractious the land is. We talk about how we don't know our neighbors. We talk about how society seems so much poorer than yesteryear. We've detached ourselves from truth. As easy as it is perhaps to point the finger at society and all the rest, we're not here primarily to do that, are we? We must examine our own hearts. Search our own hearts. For you know that we have not kept the ninth as we ought. Surely as sparks fly upward, so we're born to trouble. Deceitful speech lurks in our hearts. It finds in those intentions, worms its way up to our tongue and through the gate of our lips and out into the world. And friends, the Bible tells us that a false witness shall not go unpunished in Proverbs 19:5. Later in Revelation 22:15, speaking about the eternal city and those outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers and adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. How can we escape God's wrath against falsehood? Well, then you must ask yourself, is there a central truth in your life? You want truth this evening? You want forgiveness? You want righteousness? He is before us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true light in the darkness. He is the way over the world's way. His words about the Father are true. He brings the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Believe on him, and you will be saved. Saved from your lies and saved from the wrath of God. How good it is, believers, is it not, to have Jesus Christ as our central truth, to know his strength in resisting the lies of the devil, to have the truth of his scripture that we can ask for forgiveness anew, to know a man who has told us of all we have ever done, the very truth about ourselves. What a truth it is to receive grace upon grace, to be able to follow him into greater truthfulness and live as salt and light in a land of mistruths and falsehoods, and be that witness. Let us pray. Let us pray.